Now, another Astros podcast.
Welcome back to the Carbach Brewing Company pregame show. We're joined by Hook starting pitcher Forrest Whitley. Forrest, thank you very much for the time. How does it feel getting the Double A debut in the books?
It felt good. I had a relaxed mentality going out there. I just wanted to go out there and, you know, pitch my game and see what happens.
Now, you had a great start, retired the first seven Ks in the first three frames. At what point did you realize, you know, I got this?
It was after the second inning. Things started to settle in a little bit. Felt comfortable with all five of my pitches, and I was throwing them for strikes and balls when I needed to. And I was throwing effective balls, which is one of those things that, you know, when you're going into a game and you're throwing strikes but also throwing effective balls, just gives you a little bit extra confidence. So that was a real deal.
Command of all five of your pitches, utilize them well. It seemed like the changeup was working extremely well for you last night. Take us through the evolution of that pitch for you.
Yeah, so it kind of developed a little bit before junior year. Didn't have a lot of confidence in throwing it, but, you know, just practiced it, used it in games, and then I got some help from a guy named Sean Cole. He was actually head of USA Baseball at the time that I was playing for the 18 and under team, and he helped me develop that pitch. He showed me a couple grips, showed me how to throw it, and, you know, the mentality going into the pitch. And then throughout the summer, I used the mentality you taught me, and ended up working out.
A lot of folks talking about the 11 strikeout season high for you. Also, innings season best for you as well, six frames. How are you holding up there in that final inning?
I felt good. I felt like I could have easily gone nine. You know, obviously, the pitch count was getting up there, so, you know, the Astros are going to be pretty cognizant of that. And body's feeling as good as it ever has ever felt, feels exactly the same as it did in April. So, you know, just really happy how everything's turning out.
Well, you know, here you are at 19 years old, first full season in Double A. Are you surprised you've advanced this far in this short of time?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I feel like anyone at my age would be pretty surprised to, you know, get to reach Double A in their first full season. But, you know, it just shows the organization has a lot of confidence in me, and just got to prove them right.
Now, this time last year, just getting your feet wet in the pro ranks. Last June, you pitched Alamo Heights to the final in the 5A state championship tournament. First time that Alamo Heights went to the state tournament. That must have made you feel pretty proud.
Yeah, it was an unforgettable experience. You know, every guy on that team, I'll be long lasting friends for a very long time. A lot of those guys will be at my wedding. That was truly an unforgettable experience I'll never forget, and especially doing it for that community. Alamo Heights, very special community to me, and, you know, all those people are very, very deep in my heart. So, you know, I was happy to make them happy.
Speaking with Forrest Whitley, did you have an idea that the Astros might take you in the draft? And when you found out, when you got the phone call, what were you feeling like?
Yeah, I mean, they're in the mix. There was about five teams in the mix. Astros being kind of on the lower end of, like, the interest they were showing. It was in the middle of the state semis when I found out I got drafted. And it was, like, after the third inning or something, I was coming into the dugout. And I saw my family.
That's nuts.
I saw my family, like, up in the stadium like this, kind of up on the concourse, kind of hugging and celebrating. I was like, oh, something happened. So I go into the dugout, sit down, you know, just acted like normal. And then one of my friends was, like, I guess talking to my dad through the dugout. And I saw the reaction on his face, and he immediately came down.
Wow.
And he was like, hey, dude, you got drafted by the Astros. And I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. It took a little bit to sink in. You know, I was obviously concentrated
sure.
at the game and then, you know, getting my team to the state finals. But, you know, after it sunk in, like, it became, like, one of those sweetheart deals
sure.
where it's, like, Houston's the closest possible major league team to where I'm from. So, you know, it was an unbelievable experience, and now it's just even better not knowing, like, how everything is going to work out.
A lot of scrutiny for a first-round pick, and then you add in the mix a San Antonio kid climbing up the Astros ranks. How do you deal with that kind of pressure?
I mean, at the end of the day, it's just a game, and that's what I continually tell myself. It's just, you know, same game no matter what the level, and, you know, see, it's simple as that. Just keep that mentality going up through the system, and, you know, eventually the big leagues, same distance between the rubber and home plate, and, you know, just got to play the same game.
Chatting with Forrest Whitley, you know, your first trip with the ball club, the longest one of the year, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Springfield, Missouri. How'd you fare after that 12-hour bus ride? I noticed that you're quite a veteran when it comes to Buc-ee's. Look pretty strong in there.
Yeah, Buc-ee's, that's a pretty familiar place for me. There's one in between San Antonio and Austin. I make that trip pretty regularly, so I knew what I was doing in there. So, showed some of the guys the ropes.
Looking forward to pitching back in Texas?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'm really look, looking forward to it. You know, that's no matter where you are in Texas, it kind of feels like you're at home if you're from there. So, you know, I'll be really excited.
Well, thank you very much for your time. Look forward to your debut at Whataburger Field.
Thank you for having me.
And that's Forrest Willie, and this is the Carbach Brewing Company pregame show on News Radio 1360 KKTX.
Join the Astros and go behind the scenes of Minute Maid Park through the Astros Ballpark Tours. Fans can check out areas such as the broadcast booths, press box, dugout, scoreboard, and more. Visit astros.com/tours to book your tour today. We're on to the bottom of the second. No score between the Astros and A's as Yuli Gurriel will lead things off. And pleased to be joined by a special guest, spent 11 seasons pitching for the Houston Astros and was a part of that 97 Astros team that's being honored tonight. Shane Reynolds, good to see you.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
First pitch to Yuli is on the inside corner for a strike.
Shane, I understand that you're starting to do a lot of the community work with this Astros team this year. How fun is it to reestablish some of those relationships with the fans right now?
I love going back and doing as much as I can. I've been away for a little bit, but yeah. Now that we're back, I've talked to them, and I've been doing a good bit of stuff, and I really enjoy that. I really enjoy doing that type of stuff. No matter what it is, just getting back out because they were so good to us when we were there and at times we were playing.
The 1-1 misses high to Yuli. So let's talk about this 97 season for a minute. Three straight second-place finishes under Terry Collins. He gets let go. Larry Durker takes over as the first pitch, or the next pitch is outside, 3-1 to Gurriel. And did you go into that 97 season kind of thinking, hey, this should be our year because you guys had come so close the previous 3 years?
Well, I think we did. You had guys like Biggio and Bagwell that were our leaders that had been there for, what, 5, 6, 7 years?
Yep.
I mean, it was just
right.
It was just that time. They had to – the Astros had to get players around those two guys, which were the main focus, that would help support them. And, you know, Durker helped us pitchers out. I can't even tell you how much he helped us out by just saying, hey, you're going out there and you're going to learn how to pitch and we're not coming to get you, so figure it out.
Didn't you love that as a starting pitcher?
You did.
Yuli Gurriel grounds out to third for the first out. Now it's Marwin Gonzalez. But, yeah, that had to be an advantage. Obviously, a former pitcher like Durker is used to throwing a lot of innings and getting that mentality in the pitching staff.
That helped myself, Chris Holt, Hambone, yep. Jose Lima. That we were all
Darryl
young
Kyle.
Guys. And yes, I mean, that's exactly what we needed was somebody to push us and say, hey, don't look over your shoulder because I'm not coming out there. Figure it out.
We mentioned last inning that Brent Strom, who's the Astros pitching coach now, was your pitching coach for a little while, and you showed up in Venezuela. Do you remember the question he asked you that kind of changed your whole career?
Yep, one thing. He watched me pitch two games. He'd come up to me before my pen and that day, and he goes, hey, you want to pitch 10 years in the minors or 1 year in the big leagues?
What'd you say?
And it took me back. And, of course, I was kind of like, yeah, I want to pitch in the big leagues.
Yeah.
He goes, let's do this. I owe that man everything. He is a father figure to me. He's my best friend. He completely changed my baseball career and my life.
Wow.
That winter in Venezuela. And
so what was the thing he wanted you to do to change?
He completely changed me. He completely changed from the ground up. The way I held the ball, the way I threw the ball, the way my mechanics were, every single thing. For every other day, for 14 straight days. Make sure. Oh.
2-1 is a strike, and it's 2-2 now to Marwin.
I threw a bullpen. And Rick Sweet, which was the manager at that time.
He would catch you?
He would catch me because he was
former
a catcher.
Yeah,
he was a former catcher. And Stromy just showed me how to do certain things with three different type pitches. And it was the most unbelievable thing. I had to just go all in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I had to. I wasn't going anywhere. 2 years in Double-A.
And you were you struggling?
Not struggling, but about like a
just an average
10
guy.
And 10, 10 and 10 guy with a 4-5 something on average.
Gotcha.
2-2 is driven to center by Marwin. Backing up on it is the center fielder who's there, makes the catch. That's Powell, and there are two outs now.
So you overhauled the mechanics, you shortened your repertoire, and the split-fingered fastball, he introduced you to that.
I never had an out pitch.
Yeah.
Never in my career. I could always get two strikes on people, but I never could put them away. And this did it. And by pitching there and having that confidence, it's like having a new toy that works so perfectly, and you go out there and you've never done anything like this before in your life, and you're throwing pitches, and they're not hitting, and you're getting them out, and you're pitching 6, 7, 8, 9 innings every time, and you're going, what in the world is going on? I mean, if he called me tomorrow and whatever he asked, then I would probably give it to him or do whatever I possibly could.
You owe him that much.
I owe Stromme that much.
That's awesome.
The 0-1 is on the outside corner to Beltran, and nothing and two. Did you get a chance to say hi to Stromme before the game tonight?
I did. And, you know, his philosophy, the way he does things, if these, especially the young ones, if they'll listen and take hold, you know, he teaches how to get people out. And I think that's something that this generation, Sparky, you know, something that this generation, as far as I'm concerned, they don't necessarily know how to do. They complicate it. You're exactly right, because it's all about velocity and throwing hard instead of how do I get this guy out. Mm. I don't care if you throw 95. That's awesome. If you do, it's better.
Yeah. But once they've seen it once or twice, they've got you timed.
Exactly. So you gotta know how to pitch them and how to get them out and what to do when.
Feeble swing on the slider by Beltran to strike out, and it's a 1-2-3 inning for Kendall Graveman. Shane Reynolds, former Astros pitcher for 11 years, part of the 97 National League Championship team, being honored tonight. Thanks so much for joining us this evening. Always good to see you.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
All right, back to Minute Maid Park. No score with the A's and the Astros. As the Astros, or the A's, will send up Jed Lowry, Chris Davis, and Ryan Healy. Steve Sparks, Robert Ford, and producer-engineer Matt Bolton. We're pleased to have Larry Durker in the booth with us tonight. Larry, you're no stranger to the booth whatsoever, are you?
No. I spent more time in the booth than I did.
Did you really?
In the dugout. Well, if you add the 13 years playing and 5 years managing, you come up to the 18 years in the broadcast booth.
Wow. How about that? That's awesome. What was it like pitching as an 18-year-old just a week out of high school at the big league level?
It was really fun.
I can't tell
you
how
much fun it was. You know, I didn't have any arm troubles. I wasn't on a team that was expected to win a championship.
So not a lot of pressure.
I was, you know, it was like any kid's dream come true. There wasn't much pressure.
Yeah. As Lowry fists one into shallow center field for a leadoff base hit for the A's here in the fourth inning. Chris Davis will be the batter.
So you had been in the broadcast booth. You were tapped to manage the Astros in 1997. They had finished in second place the previous 3 years. As a broadcaster during those second place finishes, was there anything you thought the team was lacking that you thought you might be able to bring in 97?
Well, the thing that was obviously lacking was pitching. We were around the middle of the league in pitching, and we were playing in the dome, and you should be better than that. So when I talked to Jerry Hunsaker about winter plans, it was how are we going to improve our pitching, and the answer was the only way we're going to improve our pitching was with the guys we already got.
As a line drive caught by Colin McHugh, throw to first base to double off Jed Lowry for a quick double play here in the fourth, two down.
You guys need to get me up here more often. I was on TV for an inning. The whole inning only lasted about 10 minutes.
Is that right?
These guys are pitching to contact. What are they doing?
Will you go on this next road trip with us? That's when we like quick games.
I know.
Well, Dirk, one of the things you did is you made your pitchers better, and you gave them a little freedom to pitch later in the ball games.
Well, I tried to push them to go deeper because my feeling was that we weren't that deep. Our middle relief wasn't that good. I'm not going to name any names, but
sure.
I said if you
name
hand
one.
The ball to Billy Wagner, chances are you're going to win.
Right.
If you hand it off to somebody else in the sixth inning, if you've got a lead, chances are you're going to get a no decision.
So you're talking about Mike Mignotte, aren't you?
Well, actually, I tricked everybody with Mike at the beginning because he was a left-handed screwball pitcher.
That's right. So
and
he got outrighties.
I kept bringing him in to face left-handed hitters, and the other managers kept bringing in right-handed hitters. They pitched him with right-handed hitters against him because he was left-handed.
That's
hilarious. They were just going left, right, left, right. And he was a screwball pitcher. So about halfway through the season, they figured that out. They stopped doing it.
That's awesome. Well, a no-ball, two-strike count to Ryan Healy, the DH. He's 0-for-1 so far. McHugh delivers, and it's a ground ball base hit against the shift.
That's the second hit he's gotten in the last 2 days against the shift.
Yep. So an 0-2 pitch thrown away from Healy. He just stuck out his bat, Dirk.
Well, one thing about the shifts, you know, I've come to think that the shifts are probably getting more outs than they're giving.
Yep. Sure.
You know, in the old days, that would have been an out. But
I was skeptical at first, too. But you watch this on a daily basis.
You keep watching it, and you, I feel like, generally speaking, it's good. But I know it would change the way I pitch. There are certain pitches I wouldn't throw.
Right.
with a shift, and that last one was one of them. Yeah. I wouldn't throw a fastball out over the plate to a guy with a two-strike count that's just trying to make contact with a second baseman on the shortstop side.
Exactly. So as a pitcher, I know some pitchers are really big about moving their fielders between batters and stuff. How much did you do that when you were pitching?
I didn't hardly do that at all.
Yeah.
But I didn't move them too much when I was a manager either. I had spray charts, you know, and so we had an overall idea where we wanted our fielders to play against different hitters. And it changed some depending on who the pitcher was, whether
right.
it was a power pitcher or a finesse pitcher.
Right.
But I kind of felt like I could try for a ground ball or a fly ball.
Yeah.
But and maybe I could try for a ground ball that was pulled, but I didn't think I could throw a ground ball to the opposite field on purpose.
It's hard to do.
So I wasn't always sure that I could move fielders. I wasn't sure that I could be that precise.
Right.
I remember reading a George Will book about La Russa,
minute
way
work.
Move fielders.
Yeah, minute work. There's a ground ball single through the shift that time, Dirk, through the right side, putting runners on first and second base hit by Matt Olson.
Hit it hard enough, you got a better chance.
Yeah, yep. That's right.
But I remember reading that book and thinking, does George Will really believe this, or does Tony La Russa really believe this?
About
and he
moving
was talking
fielders.
About moving fielders 3 feet.
Yeah.
From one pitch to another, depending on the count. And I'm thinking, if I'm pitching, I'm not that good. I'm not that good to.
It's a common misconception to think that you can throw the ball exactly where you want every time, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, especially the glove side.
I mean, more and more now with the hitters, I think the hitters are better now than they were when I played and probably have ever been generally, especially toward the end of the lineup. But still, most of the home runs are hit on mistakes.
Right.
Throw the ball low and away. They don't hit very many home runs.
They don't drive it, at least, do they? Here's the first pitch to Matt Chapman. It's taken outside for ball one. Runners on first and second for Oakland. Two outs in a scoreless ball game. We're in the top of the fourth talking to an icon in this Astros organization. He's done it all, Larry Durker. And the 1-0 pitch from McHugh is thrown right by him, 1-1.
So... I
like this guy. I'm really glad they got him back.
Yeah. McHugh?
I like him because I've seen him many, many times give up two or three or four runs early in the game and stay, and he's still in there and pitches seven. You know, a lot of guys cave.
They do.
This guy doesn't cave.
Here comes the 1-1 pitch from McHugh, and this one's in on the hands, popped to right center. Over across is Reddick, and he's going to put it away for the third out of the inning. So good job by staying there for Colin McHugh. Got
there
in a little bit of trouble. Dirk, always great to see you. Thanks
for
stopping by.
Yeah, thanks for joining us.
This has been a production.
And whoever in this crowd wasn't standing before, well, they're getting to their feet now.
Of the Houston Astros.
This place is rocking right now.
Radio Network.